Who is lobbying to play Carnage in the Spider-Man universe? Which rumors have been confirmed and which denied? And what is going on with that glorious IMAX Inhumans experience? Tune in now on Marvel Movie News!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvelites.
Hello.
We have a very Thanksgiving thankful episode of Marvel Movie News for you, our Marvelites. We're going to try to get through news. We're going to do... That's how we feel. That's our feelings. So we're going to try to get through some news, some rumors, some conjecture, some craziness. And
some
then
Black Panther.
Some Black Panther.
Some Angela Bassett.
We'll get there. Spoiler alert. Angela Bassett. Stop breaking the news ahead of time. It's very exciting. Because they don't have the internet. How are they watching us?
Okay.
So we're going to get to that. Okay. And we also have a bunch of glorious Twitter stuff. Yes. And we're going to try to take a couple phone calls at the end because we want to hear from you guys. Because it's Thanksgiving and family and you guys are our family here. So we want to share this magical experience with you. And the studios are all on vacation. So they have very little to talk about. So hopefully that can mean we have more time for you guys. Now, we are coming to you today live from the moon. I feel like the moon because we've heard that they are doing a bunch of the Inhumans on the moon. So we're on the blue side of the moon today. We're ducking out. We're dark siding it. Now, if you subscribe to us on iTunes at youtube.com/popcorntalk, you can also find us on Popcorn Talk's website, popcorntalknetwork.com. Mm-hmm. Follow us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook. And most importantly, if you tweet us during the live show, good Sir Doom in the booth will retweet you.
Doom demands your tweets and your phone calls. We'll give out the number later on in the show. So
it's gonna
stick
be
around.
Exciting.
Sounds good. I'm excited for that.
See, I love
talk to some fans.
The opening of the show when we do like the pre-spiel mm-hmm. is my favorite part. Matt hates it. And
oh,
then
really?
Matt loves the part where he just reads up thing and I hate it. So it's like together, great. Separately, yeah. I'm like words, slash. So that's over.
Yeah, and now we're gonna talk. And in the middle I have interjections.
And Twitter things. So we've got a bunch of little things today. Basically, rumors that have been stewing have been denied, some have been confirmed. I think the one that has been rumored the longest and the one that we've not known for sure and that I've lobbied for is it's official that Zendaya is not Mary Jane.
Right.
And that's cool.
You know,
that's fine.
That's fine. That's fine. She's awesome. She's awesome for especially the tone that they're setting for this, mm-hmm. like a John Hughes-esque, reboot-ish thing, Spider-Man thing. So it's this is a great casting. I would have loved for her to be Mary Jane.
Same.
I'm okay with her being Michelle.
I'm okay with however they use her in the movie. And I'm also okay with the idea that Mary Jane isn't introduced in the very beginning. Because I really like the long play of the comics where, so Mary Jane is introduced in issue 25 of Amazing Spider-Man in one panel and her face is hidden. That's a little over two years into the character. And then she's not actually fully revealed till issue 42. So like, that's another almost year and a half of her just being a mysterious figure that you just have the face of or have a reference by Anna Watson. So if they put her in the first movie, I would much rather it be mysteriously or mentioned or like something leading up to, because it feels more like the books. So I'm okay that she's not Mary Jane. I wanted it just because I think she'd be a good Mary Jane and I'd love to see her grow through the films. But this to me hopefully means that Mary Jane herself is not in the first film. And I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's okay if it kind of seems like they may not have that much of a romantic interest kind of a thing. I know that her character isn't the romantic interest, but I think somebody else is supposed to be.
I think they're using another early character.
Exactly.
Now she said, quote, "I'm not Mary Jane, unfortunately, but I am the movie," which is exciting. Quote, "My character is not romantic. My character is like very dry, awkward, intellectual. And because she's so smart, she just feels like she doesn't need to talk to people. Like my brain is so far ahead of you that you're just not really on my level." So she comes off very weird. But to me, she's very cool because she's deep. She's always thinking about something, always reading. And I like that. So an intellectual character, she could be any number of like students that are friends with Peter. It would make sense they'd be friends because he's the bookish guy.
So it's still going to be a super enjoyable movie. And, you know, sometimes we have to get over our romantic selves.
Yeah. Sometimes we get excited about an idea and then we just latch onto it and like, this will be the thing. And then it's not.
Wants romance.
Oh,
Liz Allen is the rumor. Like, it sounds like we'll have Liz Allen.
Actually, for Zendaya?
No. Allen being
just
the romance.
Just that she's going to be in the... okay, got it.
Yeah. Because in the comics, he had, like, Betty Brant. He had Liz Allen. He had a lot of crushes. Liz Allen was the first because she was that gorgeous girl that Flash was dating. So there's a lot... more to play with than just the tropes. And we just had Sam Raimi's not that long ago. We just had Gwen Stacy literally a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's the right time to introduce a new array of characters and have them last a decade, because that's what I want. I want 9 movies like Harry Potter. speaking of Spider-Man, a very large Broadway star is lobbying to play my favorite character of all time. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah.
He said, quote, I'm very excited about this. Miranda's a big fan of Marvel, and there's one particular character that he would actually like to play. It's Carnage. He said, if Disney and Marvel were looking at doing a Maximum Carnage movie or bringing Carnage in the MCU as a character, he wants to be Carnage. Genuinely, as a fan, he would love to play Carnage. That's a goal of his. This isn't barely news, but the fact that, like, a guy hasn't been approached is just so excited about playing Carnage that he's talking about it, like, to his homies.
No, I like this because, I don't know, with, like, technology and social media now, someone could just put out there and be like, hey, you know what? I would be a great Lando. I should be Lando. Like, and then everybody's like, yeah, you should be Lando. And now Donald Glover is Lando.
Cuts to Donald Glover in high school wearing a Star Wars shirt. Like, right? That, have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
One of his yearbook photos is him in an old 70s Star Wars shirt. So it's like junior year of high school, and then he manifests it in real life.
Donald Glover,
we're so excited for you. I love this because it means that, like, not only is he a fan, he's a big enough fan that his co-stars know, and that other people are like, yo, he really wants this.
Hey.
And he even references an individual run. He references Maximum Carnage. He's so much of a fan that he's like, the specific arc, if Marvel wants to call me, I got you.
It's like, I'm all for it.
That's amazing.
And if you don't know who that's the genius behind Hamilton, but I'm sure you already know.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Oh my God.
He is Broadway right now.
Like, yes, you know what I mean? He is Broadway.
It's a giant thing, and the fact that he wants to play a character that I still don't know if we'll ever see, but the fact that he knows him so well that he references the story arc, killing it, guy.
Disney basically, like, is, like, owning Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
so it makes sense. Like, because they locked him up for Moana, they locked him up for Mary Poppins, and like one, he's doing the music for another thing. Like
wouldn't you Boston. Like if you were, like, yeah. Like anyone in Marvel just watching that play like change Broadway, like we should get that guy for something. Everything, yes. Mm-hmm.
So him with Marvel is not outside the realm of possibility.
No, mm-hmm. No. I mean, I still want it, Marvel. If you're watching, but it's okay if you want to go another way. It's cool. So another little tiny tidbit of news, a bunch of you tweeted me this and man, I was excited. Spider-Man Homecoming is officially attached to Rogue One. We're finally getting a trailer. this to me was going to be the big news story of the day, but that's not fair. Cause it's literally just me being excited about Rogue One. I'm now more excited for Rogue One than about Episode 7, just because there's a Spider-Man Homecoming trailer.
Oh really?
Like the Spider-Man Homecoming trailer is bigger to me than all of Star Wars coming back because of how much. Two and a half minutes of that?
Do not be late for that movie.
Oh, there's no way. I'm gonna watch that trailer like I'm gonna go to a movie, and anytime I'm in the movie, I'm gonna like just walk into Rogue One.
Be like, huh?
Watch it and leave, and then go to my regular movie.
Yeah, then you walk outside like, oh, this isn't my movie.
Oh, what a weird thing. I was in there for 2.5 minutes. Man, I'm lost. I'm so excited. We don't know that much about it. We know the villains. We finally got Keaton confirmation. We've heard the tone, but we haven't really seen it. If you weren't at Comic-Con, you've not seen much. And I loved how Tom Holland handled everything, every bit of him in Civil War. And we only had like 10 minutes of him. So that means the trailer is like a quarter of what we had for Civil War.
Oh,
is my rationale. Then I'm like, oh, we get another quarter of that? Yes.
Be like, there you go.
Really,
then it's all gravy. It's all gravy.
So that's happening. It's not that big of a story, but it's a big story to me. And thank you all for tweeting me because I lost my mind. It's in May, but it feels like years off for some reason. Spider-Man feels like it's like...
Oh, no. It's like right there.
It's,
like
it's
right
8 months away?
Yeah, about 8, because we're at the 11th month, and there's the 12th, and then...
Oh, wait,
so
seven months?
Six or seven months?
Yeah, so it's soon, and our trailer makes sense. I just didn't realize how soon, so cheer.
Here's what I'd like for them to do is just keep... I would love if they kept it off the web until it premiered.
I would love that.
Like, for like a day, like, I would love to see... I don't remember the last time I actually saw a trailer for a movie I was excited for in theaters the first time.
Yeah, that's true, man. It's been a while. And now when I rewatch Logan and Guardians of the Galaxy 2, it's exciting, but it would have been more exciting to have...
I have Sky Patterson saying Lin-Manuel Miranda is providing music for the live-action Little Mermaid film.
Oh, great. Ooh. So, yeah, Disney's really locking them down.
I know, dude.
Fantastic. Well, while we're talking about amazing red and black superheroes, it has been confirmed that the director of John Wick is, in fact... directing Deadpool 2, which is amazing news, because that movie was the biggest surprise of that year.
John Wick?
Yeah, John Wick just came out of nowhere.
It was surprising, and I enjoyed every second of it. I mean, we've talked about it before. Yeah, it's just like,
casually, before it was even rumored, we were like, yeah, John Wick's great.
Yeah. Like, woo.
But now he's one of us. He's joined.
Yeah, I wonder if there's going to be a dog in Deadpool 2.
I just want Deadpool to walk in a hotel and, like, wink at camera. I want there to be, like, the Mercenary Hotel be referenced by just having Deadpool in it.
Oh, wow.
Just make the John Wick part of the, like, the Fox MCU.
Just do it.
Why not? Just put a hotel in it, and that's enough.
You know, we'd love it.
I mean, they put a freaking helicarrier in the Fox movie.
They
and we're
did.
Like,
they
we're
put
like,
the raft. And like they cut it out. The raft. Yeah.
But they went full Marvel. We're like, don't tell anyone. I'm like, there's a giant set piece. Your third act takes place in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But it's cool. So if you want to make it John Wick, I'm about it. So it was rumored for a while, but we just finally have confirmation. It's not a big change because we thought it, but now it's confirmed. So I'm excited moving forward. There was concern with Tim Miller leaving, but I think the John Wick guys are going to handle it. And I'm really curious how Ryan Reynolds handles that level of comedy with that level of action, like what that movie flavor is going to be. Because the action in Deadpool is incredible, but the action in John Wick is like full 80s action.
I know. I mean, those two things, like those are like two different fandoms that go so well together.
And it's going to be a different movie. It's going to be a very different Deadpool, I think. I mean, I think the tone will be the same because Ryan Reynolds, but I think the flavor of the film is...
Now, I think it'd enhance it.
Yeah,
it'd
100%.
It'd give it the proper seasoning that it needs.
And with Cable and Deadpool, you need more action.
You would, actually. Because techno-organic viruses everywhere.
There's going to be some stuff. And the walk-in talks won't last for three movies. So you got to at some point like up it. So I'm very excited. Now, that's it for the little stuff. We're going to move on
Sorry, Brandon Christopher.
Yeah.
Dogpool.
That's my next move. That's Deadpool 3, please. Yes. Now, quickly, you guys might have heard about a rumor of James Gunn saying that he would pay someone $100,000 if they found an Easter egg. Mm-hmm. Now, that kind of happened. Basically what happened, and this is what James Gunn said in his Facebook, quote, "People are killing me with this stuff today. No, I never promised anyone $100,000 to find the Easter egg. One fan doubted there was actually an Easter egg, and I said I'd give him $100K if there was not one. But now it's all over the internet that I'm offering $100K to whoever finds it." No. Like, it was that thing when you're talking to someone, and you're like, no, trust me, it is. $100,000, it totally is. And then everybody's like, there's a bounty. There's a bounty. We're egg hunting, and it's on.
Oh,
that's not the case. Don't go, like, frame by frame and calling James Gunn expecting to get $100,000.
I heard that Matt Key confirmed $100,000 reward.
Matt Key actually has the money in a briefcase. Matt Key confirms that James Gunn handed him the $100,000.
Find him in Japan.
That's why he's not here. He's sending that money.
Whisper the Easter egg into his ear.
Say what minute and second it's at, and he'll hand you a bag of cash.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's funny.
Yeah, so you can stop watching Guardians of the Galaxy on repeat. Unless you want to.
Just watch it once. It's great.
Yeah.
Just enjoy that. Someone also mentioned Hitmonkey in that Deadpool sequel, and I would love... Imagine Hitmonkey voiced by Keanu Reeves, because, I want that in my life.
I want one.
Yes. So, while talking of Guardians, Dave Bautista, like everyone else in the world, wants the X-Men and the Avengers and the Guardians of the Galaxy to cross over. He just said, as a fan, I would love to see it. Unfortunately, it's always going to be like that because the studios have a thing. X-Men versus Avengers will probably never happen. We're going to touch on that more later, but Dave Bautista is, if you're a wrestling fan...
Big time wrestling fan.
Is like a titan of that industry. So the idea that he's like sitting around like, amazing. You know, I'd like to be some X-Men Avengers. Like, it's just funny to me.
Yeah, no, I feel like he could throw his weight around a little bit now.
He's got
And if he puts... he's got more than enough. if he, put something like that into people's ears and please, you know, God willing, I'd love it.
Right?
I mean, who wouldn't? As long as it was done right.
But now that fans have been lobbying and the people in the movies are publicly lobbying and there's all this stuff happening, we're going to talk more about it, the official ruling, but it warms the cockles that we are living in a time when actors are sitting around like, you know, I'd like that obscure comic thing too. I'd like this deep geek reference to happen. Like Carnage and X-Men Avengers, thank you guys.
What if he and Hugh Jackman, who has also said that he wanted to team up with like Captain America and stuff, what if they just like went off and did a Drax Wolverine team up special?
They just make like a fan film. They're just like sitting off and, can you imagine?
They could have Joss Whedon shoot that for them. It could be Avengers style.
Someone just mentioned that, yes, Deadpool 3 is X-Force, and I personally love the idea of the John Wick guys handling X-Force as well and doing it like a 1-2 punch, because I would love these things to come out a little quicker, for very selfish reasons. So yeah, that is all but confirmed X-Force Deadpool 3. Now, before we move on to other newsy things, I want to thank our sponsor, MVMT Movement Watches. These guys... not only did I already have one because I was a fan before, but then when they sponsored me, it was so good to actually be sponsored by a company I already liked patronizing. They are fantastic. They care about the consumer more than a lot of companies I find, because these watches usually go for like $400 to $500 in department stores, and they sell them for like starting at $95, which is
super affordable.
That's a silly thing for a watch. That's like a.
Yeah. And I don't wear watches, but I do wear this one because it's like it's. I love it. I have the Boulevard, and it's all black, and I call it the Assassin, and I love it. It goes with everything, and it's so darn pretty.
Yeah, you get a lot of compliments.
I'm a fan.
So they are sponsoring us today. They've been amazing. I got this one to get resized. I'm very excited to go get it, so I'll have two, and I'll just be that guy. as much as possible, I like to be that guy.
Yeah,
now, they've sold over 500,000 worldwide in 160 countries. They are based only online, that way they can like save the money and pass those savings on to you. Now they have this really cool thing where through us, if you go to mvmt.com/marvel, that's us, they'll give you 15% off. So they're starting at $95, 15% off that. This is like a silly thing. So they've been great to us, and they're passing the savings on to you. And I literally have never gotten more confidence on a watch, and now I have two, so I can be extra that guy. So thank you so much, MVMT, and yeah, check them out, they're great. Now, on to Kevin Feige
Even
things.
Even Doom is getting in on the FDNG.
Oh, wait, is that...
Yep, what?
I think Doom's...
Oh, we've got Doom. We've got Doom.
Oh, yes. Doom's rocking his movement watch. Which is my mask. If you can even hear me talking at this point.
It's a magical thing. I just want to give full credit to Doom and his matching watch.
There you go.
And we wouldn't have gotten here without MVMT. Now... While we lose Doom, we're going to report on Sir Kevin Feige had something to say about a lot of rumors. And basically, now, good news, bad news. Good news is he was talking about recasting and said, quote, "Look to history. We have a new Spider-Man right now who is in our Civil War film and is in Spider-Man Homecoming, and the audience has embraced it. And you can look to Sherlock Holmes, James Bond, and Batman as characters that last longer than any one actor playing them. Mm-hmm. There's a precedent for it in other franchises that suggests it's possible. But right now, I don't want to think about it and don't need to think about it." The last sentence to me is very interesting. Because I had assumed, because their contracts keep running out.
Yeah.
They're all getting older. Yeah. I had assumed this conversation was much more, like, definitive. I had assumed it was like, oh, no, they're recast. All but. I thought we were going to hear announcements anytime now after Infinity War.
I know, actually.
So I'm very intrigued by the fact that he's like, yeah, no, it makes sense, James Bond. But don't worry about it.
Yeah. It's like, hey, even Doctor Who's different people.
Right.
So it's like, don't worry about it.
So I'm really
You still
intrigued.
Have the storyline. You still have the characters.
So I think we have more
right
time.
Now, let's get through Infinity War and, you know, have that happen. And just don't worry about it. The future comes no matter what. But we're going to take care of you. That's what I hear when I read this.
He just says so much respect for the characters.
Yeah.
And I feel like we won't be steered wrong. And I've not doubted Marvel's casting yet. So
it's been pretty solid.
No matter what, it's going to go great. But I love the fact that it seems like it's a little farther down the road than I thought.
Oh, well,
That was what I got out of it. It seems I was expecting the next 2 years we'd have an announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, already another replacement. I thought after Infinity War we might.
Ooh.
So this seems like it's a little bit farther down the road. And that's really exciting. Because I've grown to love these guys as these characters.
Yeah.
Like, Chris Evans as Captain America has made me like Captain America the character more.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Like, when I read comics that I used to read, like, if I reread a storyline, I appreciate what Captain America has to say. Because Chris Evans fleshed it out more than I thought the comics had.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I was
kind of the reverse. I like Captain America more before he was live action mainstream, but that's just me because I guess I built him up so much in my head.
Right.
So then to see him as an actual real person, I was like, hey, you're doing a great job, but...
But you're not a superhero.
Yeah. So that kind of a thing.
Iron Man, I had a thing with where in the first Civil War, when I read Civil War, I was like, Iron Man's just a dick. Like, I was just like, he's just the bad guy.
Who's this DB?
And then Tony Stark... Downey Jr. embraced Tony Stark so much, so when I reread Civil War right before Civil War II, I was like,
"Yeah,
do I kind of see his side?" Like, I understood more.
That's
because
great.
These actors literally give them more depth than I ever read into it. So I love these actors playing these characters, but there's a lot of actors out there. And
yeah,
they need
there's
to,
a lot of talent.
You gotta
out
be
there.
Physically able to do the part. So as long as they are, I'm glad they're staying. But this is this gives me some hope.
Ultimately, I think I'd rather not see recasting. I'd rather just see new characters take up the mantle and keep the MCU in like a consistent. Like I know we recast a little bit here and there, like Don Cheadle.
Right, right.
But I think like rather than have somebody else play Tony Stark, I'd rather get like Riri in there. Like,
yeah, change, of course.
Like pass the mantle instead of like, and then like 80-year-old Robert Downey Jr. can like return as Tony Stark, like a grizzled old man. Like.
Or even go like you're saying, like go Riri after Tony Stark, and then after her run, then go Tony Stark, and it will have been like 10 years, and it won't feel as replaced.
Yeah, then it definitely has to be someone by then, because you know Robert Downey Jr. is doing. Goodness knows who else. Building an empire.
He's directing.
Yeah.
He's directing a movie now. He's buying an eighth island or some such. Like, he's busy. But I love the idea that, like, we can just branch out, like you're saying. Like, there's so many characters that are so heartfelt and fleshed out that we can go to them next.
Yeah. I'd rather we see, like, if they're going to have to, like, really recast these roles, like, wait till we have to do, like, Secret Wars or something and really, like... like bend the universe to do
and make it the thing.
Yeah, make it like make
Battle
it work,
World.
Make it part of the continuity as opposed to just like putting a new face on the role. They've become so in my mind they're so attached to the roles they play.
Yeah,
I don't. Mm-hmm. It's not even that like somebody else couldn't handle it. It's just like I don't want that. I'd rather a new character come into place.
No, I mean I get you. I totally see that. Now, tragically. After all the Matt Keys confirms we can throw at you, he also had this to say. Regarding Fox and Marvel teaming up, he said, quote, "It's an impossibility at this juncture. Mm-hmm. We certainly have enough films to keep us busy for a number of lifetimes."
Yeah.
That sounds like a big old no.
Yeah, that's a huge. That's a
heck not
no.
gonna happen. Yeah, that's a we're just friends.
Yeah, that's
and a half. So I mean, hey, we dreamed. We all knew it wasn't. Yeah. We all thought it wasn't going to happen. We theorized, but alas, as it stands now, it's still not going to happen.
Yeah, but when you really think about it, we have such a bounty of treasures of everything else that we don't really have to, you know, rue the day that he's saying no
right.
to this. You know, it's okay. We've got more. We've got
yes,
so much
plenty.
More.
We're doing just
all,
fine.
All the more. So yeah, I mean, I'm sad.
Right, it's a bummer.
I'm a little sad.
I'm still excited. Fox can keep going. Marvel can keep going. Keep making awesome stuff. Having five or six superheroes movies a year is more than I ever dreamed in any of my wildest imaginations.
Yeah,
so,
including Netflix ventures. So
those, we have like 10 a year.
Yeah,
like,
and then ABC and IMAX and Inhumans.
Speaking
and so we have
of IMAX
all of this.
And Inhumans. Now, the announcement this week about IMAX and Inhumans was that they're also keeping their feature film. Did that surprise you?
Wait, I missed that part.
Yeah.
Well, that's just, it's a they could.
Well, it's okay. They refer to it as a quadruple win and it won't replace the feature film. So it sounds like, to me, not only are we getting the first crossover of IMAX TV show, Game of Thrones aired in IMAX, but it wasn't specifically shot to play. And like,
yeah, but this is specifically shot. Like, they're sponsored by IMAX.
IMAX
finance.
Is putting the bill up. They're doing a two-hour thing, basically, two episodes in IMAX, and then 2 weeks later it goes on to ABC. They also said they're probably still doing a movie, which would mean theatrical TV, theatrical. To me, this is the first thing of this scope.
That's huge.
Yeah.
How I read it was they're going to do the 8-part series. The first two are going to be filmed on IMAX, but probably at a TV pace.
Yep.
So it's not going to take, like, most feature films take, like, a minimum of, like, 60 production days to shoot. TV episodes more closer to 10. And then, if that goes well, they could do the sequel as a feature, like a full like theatrical release.
Gotcha.
I'm just intrigued by that level. If they think it's all connected. That's like, hey, we're truly like transmedia across all platforms. Like, we don't care what the medium is. We just want to tell the story. That excites me.
Yes,
they're even willing to think about it.
The fact that there's so many cross genre. Madness. Like, the fact that you're even considering that is fascinating to me. So, I mean, that's a lot of different companies agreeing with each other. Like,
I know.
That's Marvel, that's ABC, that's IMAX, that's, like, that's a lot of genre-redefining, like, handshakes.
Yeah, where they're like, hey, yes, the money and the fans are here, so let's give them everything.
Yeah, and that's amazing that we've gotten to the point where it does so well that we just lean into it. Like, yeah. And Inhumans is so weird.
It is. It's so interesting that they're doing it. I'm glad that they are. There's like a lot of, you know, like part of our social media thing, like a question, a really good question that someone came up in. Let's just go ahead and chat about it now. Dan at Hoot_86. He was like, do you guys think they'll make Black Bolt use sign language to communicate in the show?
Love this.
That is amazing, because that's something that was a blind spot for me, how it is with about the community that is hearing impaired.
Yeah.
Or I think that's the wrong term to use. I'm not 100% sure, but my friend Jody, she does sign language and she's learned sign language classes, and there's improv comedy that you can do.
Oh, that's like awesome.
Yeah, sign language. And I realized, wow, I'm privileged in that sense that I watch a web video at work, right. with that sound off. I don't know what they're saying. I can put the sound on and I know exactly what they're saying. Not everything's subtitled. Right. So to have a character like Black Bolt, who he has to be silent.
Yeah. I love that idea so much.
To have him actually use sign language, I think that opens up a whole new audience for them. I actually enjoy that.
Thank you, Dan at Hoot86. That's a great idea. I don't know how I never thought of it. No. Like, as in just the context of that character doing that, it just makes so much sense. Like, that'd be a great way to have a new... It'd be a great way to have an entire audience get a hero. Like, mm-hmm. that's a great, like, we have someone that's ours now. That's really
exactly.
cool.
Exactly. I mean, and it's still, you have Black Bolt, but you have...
It changes nothing about the character, which it is doesn't. The only time I have a problem. And then mm-hmm. it gives only more to the audience. Like, yeah. That's perfect.
And it makes them relatable in a whole different way to people. Yeah. And then maybe even stimulates interest in sign language for other people, which is just good for everybody.
Sign language is beautiful. Have you seen the Eminem rap and the girl translating?
No.
It's amazing. Like, ooh. Literally a girl does all of the, I think it's 8 Mile with sign language, and it, like, she does it to the beat, so it's like body... It's like poetry physically. Yeah. It's amazing.
I love going to theater and when they have the interpreters at the end of it. Like I saw Into the Woods.
Yeah.
And oh my, the it's interpreters so cool. get into yeah. it. I'm just, oh, you go.
Because it's a dance. Like yeah. when you, oh, it's so cool.
It's a conversation.
Now, that is all we have on Inhumans, really, because we fleshed it out last week more. We fan casted. We had a whole thing on Inhumans. Now, some other news broke that I'm going to let you, because I know you wanted to talk about the beginning of the show, so I'm going to let you go ahead and dive in.
It's not a quick news. It's on the front page of Marvel.com. Angela Bassett is, oh my God, Angela Bassett is Ramonda. She is T'Challa's mom in Black Panther. It is confirmed. It is Matt Key confirms, Koi confirms, Marquia confirms, Marvel confirms that she's, and this is such a powerhouse. She's an Academy Award nominee. She was nominated for What's Love Got to Do With It, which is a biopic with Tina Turner, and she is amazing. If you have not seen that movie, you will watch that and be like, how did you not walk out of that ceremony with a golden statue in your hand? Mm-hmm. Because it is amazing. She's an amazing actress. I mean, some of the movies, she did Supernova, which is not a good film, but it is a good film because Angela Bassett's in it. You have that. You have How Stella Got Her Groove Back. She's if you watch American Horror Story, she's Maria Laveau. She's like a high priestess, voodoo priestess. She is this amazing force to be reckoned with. And then for her to be Ramonda. Ramonda is... She's the mother. Okay, she's not the birth mother of T'Challa. His birth mother, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Nayami. She dies in childbirth with him. And Ramonda marries T'Chaka. Basically his stepmom. But she's the mom that you would always want to have. She's a hardcore mom. Hardcore mom. Like this woman, she, when T'Challa was saying, oh, you know, we have to work things out with Eric Killmonger, you know, let me take care of him. We can take care of this. This woman goes, if we just do a precision strike from space and cauterize that wound, then this wouldn't be a problem. That is a hardcore mama.
And Angela Bassett is so maternal and hard at the same time.
I know.
Like, just her general, like...
She's real life all the way.
To use the word that I sometimes get called out for, her Ness is incredible. Like, her whole vibe as a person, like, I love Angela Bassett, and I love that Black Panther just can't stop, won't stop. Like, it's just, like, they're running out of mics to drop. Like, Marvel's just like, oh, by the way, everyone. I can't, like, it's so much. Like, every single casting choice they make is perfect, and then every announcement they make is just like, I didn't know they had room for
it. It's like, who else isn't in it by now? I made the joke earlier, but is Lawrence Fishburne something in this?
Why not?
I miss that?
It'll happen. Because it'll be the week of.
There's room. There's room in Wakanda. There's room in Wakanda for everybody.
I'm so excited.
For everybody. But, and, you know, this is supposed to be the shout-out section, but shout out to, was it Berkeley the Wise, at K Heavey. I forget your thing. Well, in any case, we've had a back and forth fan casting, and neither one of us said Angela Bassett because we thought it wasn't possible.
It's so big.
This is so big.
It's like Sigourney Weaver, The Defenders. Like, yes. It's like that, yes, where it's just, it's like, big. Oh.
It's like, whoa, I'm mind blown.
That movie's going to be crazy.
Marvel has no limits left on who they can get to cast in.
That's what I'm saying. I know. They're out of mics.
I know.
That's why, like, I started, like, doing more casting, like, thoughts on Inhumans this week. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, as a possibility for either Maximus or Karnak, Adrian Brody. And I think it's a realistic reach.
Adrian Brody
would
be a great Karnak.
I don't think he's out of the realm of possibility for Marvel. If they want to put him on an IMAX TV show.
I don't know, man. The Jacket's Adrian Brody or The Pianist's Adrian Brody?
I was thinking The Predator's Adrian Brody.
I want everyone. I think it's a win-win because I think actors get the exposure that they would not get on almost any other project. And then Marvel gets the caliber of actors you need to do a movie like Doctor Strange. Yeah. Without the actors they cast, the characters would not have worked in Doctor Strange. Because if you look at that movie objectively, there's so much exposition. There's so much just talking at you. Mm. Would not have worked with lesser actors. Like, that movie is like, talk, 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 blow your mind. Talk, 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 blow your mind. If you don't have the talk, 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 the blow your mind is just redundant. And that's what happens to a lot of movies. It doesn't feel anything because you're just seeing shiny. You cared so much about the characters because they were so good that by the time there was any mind-altering stuff, you were invested. So without Tilda Swinton, that wouldn't have worked for me. Or like, you know, someone of that caliber. So Black Panther, I think, I hope, is our first, like, hey, Academy, look at the people we're putting in these movies. Ooh. And look at the issues we're dealing with. Look at the things that are important
to
our culture.
Look at the director we have. We've got Coogler.
We're literally doing everything. Please start seeing this as a viable medium, because it is. Just because the movie makes a lot of money doesn't mean it's not a good movie.
It's more than visual effects, special effects, or soundtrack. You
know, absolutely.
Kind of, or sound. It's more than that.
And discounting it just for the scope is not fair, in my opinion.
Does Black Panther, like, maybe not dollar for dollar, but like, pound for pound, like, the weight of the actors involved, I think Black Panther might have more talent in it than Civil War.
Oh, as far as talent? I mean, not like to scoff at Civil War, but...
The amount of quality actors involved. Like, Civil War, we were like, this has so many people in it. But think about Black Panther. Like, every single person.
Well, Civil War was like every...
They balance it. There's some lesser knowns that are in there. Remember Letitia White?
Not in terms of, like, known, but just, like, the level of talent of everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're like, we've seen all these people be good. This isn't like, oh, these, I've never heard of this person. Maybe they'll be good. This is like, we know established actors, at least one or two films, are quality.
And I love, I mean, I'd say Civil War is our flashiest cast because it was like the greatest hits of Marvel. I'd say this is our, like, yo, look at what we've done as far as caliber. Like, this is that, like, everyone. This is like that Denzel Washington trailer where it's just them crying at each other and you're like, I don't know what's happening, but it hurts. The movie.
Look what we can get in this movie for a character that 90% of the audience had never heard about 5 years ago.
Yeah. And that, well, he stole the show. Like, 90%. I talked. Yeah,
that's a high percentage. I'd say 70. But I get what you're saying though. You cared and you cared right away. Chadwick did that.
And Doctor Strange did it too.
Yeah,
it had a cast that was like, oh, everyone. And I just feel like Black Panther has more supporting parts that Doctor Strange didn't have the option for.
Yeah, Wakanda is a huge, it's a huge nation.
We're filling a society, not a sanctum, so it's a lot more flavor.
Yeah, there we go.
So I'm excited.
I mean, it's on the top page of Marvel.com.
As it should be.
Are you excited, Marquee? I'm trying
to be cool right now, and I can't, so I'm just trying to not... Yeah.
Next year, Marquee gets her Deadpool, Doctor Strange year. Like,
yeah, my smiling, hands. You idiot. You're supposed to be a professional.
You stop. Get out. Get out, Doom.
Doom's already out. He's that kicked out. He's kicked out of the studio. He's done.
Yeah, it's like when my hands start, then. Okay, I'm good.
It's next year?
Doom. Yeah, what? No, no,
no, no, sorry. It's I read this as 2017. For a second, my brain already went, we're there, because we're about to have like a 3-week thing. It's soon.
Yeah, it's soon, but it's not soon enough. It's too far away.
Now, that's all we have as far as news, but mm-hmm. It being Thanksgiving week, we wanted to show how thankful we're to you guys. Yes. We're going to dedicate a little extra time to the fan portion of the show, starting with Ms. Markia and the world of Twitter.
Yeah.
Putting the phone number up on the screen now.
Okay.
Yes. We're going to take phone calls in a few minutes. If you don't get through, we'll take it as soon as we enter the call section. But for those of you who may be somehow watching us live but not watching the screen, the phone number is 424-256-1633.
Cool. So some quick shout-outs that we didn't do during the program. Thanksgiving. And thank you to Darren and Carolyn Jacques of, I'm going to mispronounce this, Côte d'Azur. It's a Tribal Fusion Massage.
Those guys.
Yeah, Tribal Fusion Massage Parlor. I went there, and they are amazing. They are good. Good-hearted, wonderful nerds.
Jacques
that
are great.
Absolutely love. Oh my goodness! And their salons in Pasadena. Check them out. Oh my god, it's amazing. I love them.
I like massages. I work out too much, so I need them. They're my favorite massage place by a lot, and they just are also the warmest people, and they're comic geeks. Like, you know that thing where you're getting massaged, and you're like, do I talk or not? Like, you can talk about comics, and that's amazing.
Yes.
Like, that awkward, like, someone's touching me. Do I speak? You have a bond with these people because they're one of us. Check them out.
Yeah, like, the entire time I talked comics with Carolyn.
Nowhere else.
I was just like, yeah, let's
do it. Is that a thing?
It's great.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah. And then a birthday shout-out to Otto Cobbler at Otto Juan Knobbler.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm supposed to have been a responsible adult since Sunday. What about a birthday shout out? Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
So you're either 18, 21, or 25.
Somewhere in that range.
Responsible adult, or 30. Responsible adult ages. Brock Domjanovic, at Brock Dom. It was your birthday yesterday. You absolutely love the show. You look forward to it every week. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, man.
Yes. Happy belated. And then Adrian, at, Pina42, he bought, Movement Watch, and and he sent us a picture, and it's like, it's here, thanks Marvel Movie News and MVMT, so congrats for that. It's awesome.
Enjoy it.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so, questions. So from at MikeTheBeast92, how much Doctor Strange do you think will be in Thor?
15 or less minutes.
Yeah. Oh, 15 or less. I was thinking like percentages.
Oh.
Yeah. that's just how my head works. I think a small percentage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know.
It'd be fun.
McCoy's pretty on point there.
Yeah.
Probably like 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the most we get is 15, because that's actually a substantial amount of time. I think 15 or less minutes. I think we'll get not a cameo, but mm-hmm. not a supporting role. Like somewhere in that smaller little flavor.
Yeah.
One battle.
Yeah, or like a post-credit scene, but in the movie, that length. Exactly. The 5, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and from Haiku Eli, 575 at Comics Guy. He brought up, or she brought up, the USA Avengers covers, like November 18th, Marvel released the rest of those, and it all 54 are revealed. Because it's 50 states plus Puerto Rico, District of Columbia, Canada, and the United Kingdom. Some fun discussion stuff with that.
Spider-Man in Vermont.
Spider-Man's in Vermont. You know,
I don't understand.
Something that they did say is that they were going by birthplaces, yes, and also key storylines.
I'd argue virtually all Spider-Man. I remember zero Maple Syrup Adventures. I love Vermont.
Oh,
it's one of my favorite places in the world. Literally, Vermont in the fall is heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But Spider-Man and Vermont, I do not see any correlation. So I'm a little confused.
They gave New York to Luke Cage,
which
is fair.
Yeah. I mean, you can't split it up into boroughs.
Everyone's in New York. Yeah.
There's so many people that could have been in New York. I mean, they had to put Captain America in
Delaware.
Look at
Coy's shirt.
There's just on my shirt, we're sharing New York. Just right here. That's how much New York has a problem with heroes.
Where would you have, I'm curious, Coy, where would you have put Spider-Man knowing that, like, New York was already taken?
You know what's funny is if not New York, Jersey. Because I feel like there's been times he's gotten, like, trapped on a car and ended up in Jersey, or fought the Hammerhead in Jersey, or, like...
Who got Jersey?
Or begrudged the fact that he was in Jersey.
Oh, Kamala Khan. You had to give it to Kamala.
Yeah, you had to give it to Kamala.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But, like, the idea of him being trapped in Jersey, that's a comic story. That's funny to me. if not those two... He actually travels a fair amount. I just don't think to Vermont.
Oh, fun guy, Spider-Mont.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Spider-Mont.
That's the only logic we can think of.
There we go. Spider-Mont. But yeah, I love that Spectrum was on the Louisiana cover. Makes total sense. She's awesome. And of course, Louisiana. She was part of the Harbor Patrol, and that's where she was born.
I just thought it was interesting.
Frank and Marie, Rambo.
I just thought it was interesting they didn't give New Orleans Gambit some love.
Well, you know.
Just for the popularity of the character, that's all.
Yeah, I guess he wasn't in their top 50.
I mean, it's almost like Fox owns them or something.
Oh.
But that's none of my business.
I mean, they had
that
to reach. They had to reach pretty deep for some of these, like, to get to 50. They have Jocasta in Washington.
There's so many characters in Marvel. They're like, but what if? Yeah, it's an interesting way, but it brings awareness to characters and it causes the conversation we're having. So clearly, it worked.
Yeah, and then from November 18th, like, because they're tracking which state variants are ordered the most, the United Kingdom one is ordered the most. I don't think that's actually up on that the 50 that we have there. But, yeah, I know. The United Kingdom is the top one. The next one is Texas, and I believe that's Firebird. I think Texas is Firebird. And then Canada, which I want to... Deadpool is Canada.
I love that so much. That makes so much sense. What else would it be? Thank you for beating Wolverine, because you are the most Canadian of Canadians. And someone wrote, Tim Cogan, watching the leaves turn with Aunt May. All right, now I like the Vermont cover.
There you go.
That's all it took. Thanks, man.
Way to go, dude. All right, so, thanks for that discussion point at Comics Guy. And we already did Dan with the sign language. Awesome.
I like how it's like 40 years into comics with variant covers and there's still new stuff to be like, yo, like hip hop variants and like state variants.
Oh, yeah.
I still get into it. Like,
I mean, it's cool.
They know how to get my money.
Yeah, they've got it down to a science by this point. I'm just telling you.
Well, speaking of this shirt, briefly, I wanted to give a quick shout out to not only Max Herron, who has done amazing work and made this shirt, but also to Joey Harrison, who reached out to Max Herron and bought one of his own. He's a longtime watcher and now the proud owner of one of these bad boys. Now, Max is maybe sending us some Christmas love, and I might have gotten a tweet that I was pretty excited about. So I just want to give that guy some love because he makes really cool stuff and has consistently been like a diehard fan. So Joey, Max, thank you guys, and thank you.
Nice. And then moving on, at Mickey Monster 35, he gave us a shout out. He said, love this show. My coworkers and I listen every week at work. Makes our day fly by. Awesome. Hashtag thankful. And he also tweeted about, like, you know, like way back when we did the Doctor Strange show, mm-hmm. where it was like, oh, what's this cup that Doctor Strange, you know, points at Caecilius? And he's like, do you even know how to use that? And then he just throws it down. So apparently that is the evil eye, which it's okay that it's actually funny that he didn't know how to use it, because the evil eye is a relic from Fantastic Four and it's capable of literally whatever a writer wants or needs it to do.
I love the idea that he doesn't use it because it's not in his universe. Like, that's like an accidental writer play. Yeah, like, what is this thing? I don't know. It's a Fox property.
It's like, this could do just about anything.
In another universe.
Exactly. And then on to Daniel Drew at Jedi Time saying, dude, you have so many awesome pictures of, like, everything. One of the pictures that he sent us out of many, and you can go to hashtag Good Mail Day, he shows he bought the Art of Doctor Strange book, and it is
gorgeous.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Staggering.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is, a picture of it. And he actually has a video on his page of the first couple of pages. If you don't want to buy it, at least see that.
Yeah, it's real pretty.
Yeah, and then...
that's a coffee table book.
I know, right? Isn't that gorge? And then Matthew Dennis at Matt Dennis 214. He shared a Deadpool meme, and I just really love this meme.
Yeah! That's like a next level fourth wall break. Like when you break the wall within the frame. Impressive.
Yeah. Yes.
Floor it's, break.
Yeah. It's like a, and it's like an infinite loop.
I mean, we've all been there. We've all been right there.
Okay, and then Darren Fielder at Megadaz, Shelf of Marvel Goodies. I love that. That's a collection.
Dude, staggering. I've loved these coming in, by the way.
Yeah, I love seeing all your nerd caves, your nerd dens.
Now, most of my comics are on the East Coast, because when I moved, I couldn't carry 17,000 books, because that would have been all my money. Yeah. So I will, next time I go home, take a picture of my nerd cave, which is, I think I'm at like 30-ish long boxes, plus some shelving, plus some other stuff. But to see the figures, like, made me... I have a collection, but I don't have, like, that. So I, like, I got so... That's my future. So everyone that sent in your nerd cave, thank you. It's inspiring. Yes.
Should we do a day where we each show off, like, our own nerd caves?
Like a...
Oh, we like can.
Like an MTV Cribs?
Like, I'd be like, yo, welcome to my
nerd
crib.
I was just thinking some pictures. But sure, we can...
Let's open the door like a mint robe. Like, yeah.
I love that miniature shutdown. Be like, no, sorry. About those pictures.
Photos.
You open the door in the Doctor Strange robe.
Yeah, just like...
Mine's
and
very,
nothing else.
Mine's very eclectic. It's like Sailor Moon, Transformers. There's some Full Metal Alchemist. I mean, it's super eclectic.
I've actually got a picture of a corner of my... nerd den.
Because
I thought I would share with you guys, I got a package in this week from Mondo Records.
That's
cool.
And this
is my current
record player setup with Luke Cage vinyl and the Jessica Jones vinyl framed and on the on the wall.
I like this.
And the record is purple.
Dude, that's so cool.
Of course
it is. So
course it is.
Yeah, I have like my whole apartment is basically my nerd cave. I've got a wall that's got like 20 pieces of art, and then another wall with some like tapestry, and then I've got one of my coolest things is a one of a kind skateboard that has all of my favorite Spider-Man artists. So it's a wrapped skateboard with Spider-Man
nice.
Art that's like so. Yeah, we'll MMN Cribs whoever. Yes, Betsy, good call.
Yeah, and then another picture of more nerd dens. We have home office prints and a Spider-Man shelf from Nathan Claycamp at N Claycamp. Yeah, and fun fact with this, the Spider-Man figure that you see in the middle shelf, he painted that in middle school.
Oh, I was just looking at that. Like, I've never seen that one before.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a nice setup, man. That's pretty.
Nice.
And very then, aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, and then he also has the office prints, the home office prints, where he has Spider-Man and... Hulk, we can see that one. And then end it off with this particular section, Bethany Kettler at Undercover Nerd B. She goes, my house is too much nerd to fit into one tweet, so here's some of my hashtag nerd cave. And yes, this is gorgeous. And thank you for making it a collage for us so we
that's
can just show
awesome.
It in one
it's
big.
Beautiful.
That's
so,
yeah.
That's gorgeous.
Nicely done. Wow, that's like staggering. That's
heck
jealous.
Yeah, fan.
Real jealous.
Cool. So, yeah, if we have any calls coming in.
Yeah, do we have
like
any calls
that?
Set up?
Yeah,
otherwise, I have
yeah,
some notifications I can do.
Let's take some calls. Hey there, call. You're on the air with Marvel Movie News. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Brock Damjanovich, calling from Utah.
That's a cool name, man.
Hey, Brock. Welcome.
Hey, yeah, you gave me a birthday shout-out earlier. Brock
yeah.
Dam.
There we go. Nice.
Direct happy birthday.
I know. Direct to you.
Hold on. We're going to find
hey,
out with
like
everybody that calls.
Birthday present in itself.
Who is your U.S. Avenger today? Who did Utah get?
Gosh, I don't even know. Someone made of salt because of the Salt Lake, probably.
And
there
I
you go. You can be Hydro Man after a long run.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, that'll work. That'll work. Hey, I got a question for you guys. Kind of two-part.
Okay.
Number one, what is... I haven't heard you guys talk about the Soul Gem in a while. What is it capable of? And where do you guys think it is in this wacky Marvel universe?
Soul Gem, that's the one that...
that possessed Taka, right? No.
No, wait. Soul Gem, is that the one that I was theorizing was in... Heimdall. Yeah, Heimdall. Because it's Yeah, because we were you know kind of batting it around because if you see Heimdall's chest plate in all of the Thor movies, there's a little jewel, and then for the fact for him to be blind, but then also be able to see everybody, no matter what.
I love that.
Yes, so it's a very real possibility that he does it, and then plus that ties in with the whole death of Heimdall, which I am not looking forward to at all. Possibility, Hela. Those are my guesses.
I actually think it might be with Thanos already. Because the way I'd do it is I'd introduce Death by way of the Soul Gem, and I'd have her be interested in him because he has the Soul Gem, and then him lose the Soul Gem, mm-hmm. and then covet Death is what I'd do. I'd make it like a love triangle with the gem.
Wow.
Yeah, so do you think that all of these different Marvel characters are just going to be dying off once Thanos comes a calling for those gems? Like, do you think we're going to lose the Vision, Heimdall?
I think
is there any hope?
I think Doctor Strange remains, because I think that the eye just holds the gem. Mm-hmm. Don't know how Vision's going to bode. I also think Vision is too strong of a character to really like keep up with a lot of the things. Like, it's kind of like a Deus Ex Machina. Like, the character comes in, you're like, I can do everything. So I think as far as logically getting rid of the Vision makes sense. I also think that's a great way for Scarlet Witch to lose her mind.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I kind of like the idea of, yes, there is like the complete devastation that happens, after, and then that's how he has the Infinity Gauntlet. And then we can have Nebula come in and then do her thing that she did in the comics, where it's like where she's mortally wounded and she's like, oh, I'm going to fix myself. And then she she kind of screws herself, but then brings everybody else back to life. I am A-okay with that happening.
Cool. Very cool. Love to hear it. Mm-hmm. I like to think that once he goes for the Eye of Agamotto, he'll take the gem out, and then there's going to be an epic moment in the movie where Doctor Strange is like, no, if only I could use this artifact, and then it like reopens and turns out the gem was like, holding it back.
Yeah, that's I would love if he becomes the Sorcerer Supreme by overcoming the power of the gem.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Yeah. I want that to be how he earns it.
Oh, that's sweet,
the
Brock.
Yeah, powerful enough to hold back the gem, just containing it. That's all it was there for.
Right.
But now it can actually be used.
Mm-hmm. Into it.
Love it.
Love it. Love it. Well, thank you guys so much. Love the show. Tune in every week. This is my first time in the live chat, but loving it.
Awesome, man. And happy birthday again, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Hey, thank you so much.
Have a good week.
Bye.
Shall we take another call?
Let us.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, and Joshua Wright says, totally awesome. Hulk got Utah.
Yeah. Oh, and Spider-Man didn't get Vermont. Vermont went to the irredeemable Ant-Man.
Where's Spider-Man?
He's in New Hampshire.
Oh, Vermont's cousin. They're like, I get them upside down and confused. I love New Hampshire, too. No sales tax. That I get. Spider-Man is poor.
Okay, so no Spider-Mont, then.
You can still leaf
peep. Ant-Mont.
You can still go leaf peep in New Hampshire. It's very beautiful.
Okay, cool.
All right, let's take one more. Hey there, caller. You're on the air with Marvel Movie News. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello. Hi.
Hey. I saw the news about Kevin Feige saying all those things about the X-Men and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I think it's a bit of a misdirection, also a bit of a lie.
Oh. Oh, wait. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm Jamal. I'm calling all the way from the Netherlands, actually. I'm calling way overseas.
Oh, wow. Oh, Netherlands.
Awesome, man.
Nice.
Also, we don't even need a U.S. Avenger for the Netherlands.
I agree, actually, dude. I didn't even think of the idea that he could easily just be like, they're all about to die.
Yeah, like,
Because that'd be the way to change the slate. So that's a great mislead.
Nah, but the real reason is basically he said the same thing about Spidey back in 2014 when he didn't announce everything, the old slate and everything. He said, nothing has been said yet, I don't know anything about it, I'm not going to talk about it. That's what he basically said back then when he announced the entire slate.
Sweet
because basically
Christmas.
People were speculating about Spidey possibly being in the MCU back then.
Right, dude.
Oh, man.
Oh, man, I love the idea that he gave that... like official statement from Cerebro, like he's like sitting in the chair and he's like, yeah, no, Fox, Marvel, that's not gonna happen. Oh yeah. Like, I'd be so stoked if he was just like the ultimate bait and switch, because it would get him another $1 billion.
Yes.
true. But I think he's a bit lying or just or misdirecting just to be like, I don't just don't want to talk about it. I just want to talk about the moves we're doing right now, and that's all I care about. And basically, but don't forget, Feige's not just a comic book guy. He is also a he's also becoming a businessman slash producer. And basically, sometimes you have to divert the attention to watch other stuff, to your own stuff. So basically, he wants to focus on his movies and not to talk about like Fantastic Four or anything.
Yeah, dude, I love this idea, man. I hadn't even considered it, so let's hope you're right from the Netherlands.
Yeah, and to Sherlock that out.
Yeah, referencing the old thing makes a lot of sense, man.
Well, it's how you sometimes can read people.
Yeah,
how you think about stuff.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your call, man, and thanks for watching from far, far away.
Yeah, Netherlands.
Yeah, no problem.
Good talking to you, man.
Good luck to you too. Have a great night, you too. Bye.
Bye.
That's a great. I mean, it's a good point though.
Yeah.
Like,
isn't it?
It could easily be a diversion tactic. I stand by my thought that like we're gonna get in the way that like you know the Infinity storyline, not Infinity War, but Infinity, the one we don't want to talk about. But, like the result of the whole thing because it messed up the tore hole in the universe, and then Angela came out of it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That was the whole like it was like we did this whole crazy plotline to get Angela
to get this character to get this one character. Look what we did.
But they, I could totally see them bending like one like the universe rips open and then Fantastic Four crawls out of the hole.
Dude,
man,
dig it.
Oh, simply recommend Fox Mamu, Feige's Come to Bargain.
Well
nice
done.
Work. Nice work.
Nice. Well done.
I got a couple real quick shout-outs, too. I give Max Heron a lot of shout-outs for t-shirts, but I also want to give some love to Jeffrey Spicer, one of our original t-shirt aficionados. He's at tpublic.com/artboy. He gave us the amazing Deadpool Spider-Man combo and the Deadpool pinball. Great shirts. I wear those all the time too, so I wanted to give them some love. And then on Twitter, I wanted to thank everyone that's been sending us not only the big spreads, but also like the Miss Marvel toy. Did you see that?
No.
Like a Miss Marvel keychain from Jedi Time Saiyan, who is just all of the things.
Oh, that's a sweet little keychain.
Real cool. And just seeing you guys send pictures is always cool because I love seeing what you guys look like and like what your geek world is. So
love
thank you very much.
Y'all.
With Miss Marvel toys, there was this adorable exchange on Twitter where G. Willow Wilson was like out at like because the Kamala Khan Funko toys are like exclusive to Walgreens, and apparently she like went out to a bunch of Walgreens to try to find them and couldn't, and she was like, does anyone know where there are any in Seattle? And then Funko is just like, we've seen a few.
Amazing.
Send us a message.
Also Ash Arnold, it's your birthday as of like right now. Happy birthday.
Birthday
on them Twitters. And then I got a couple quick iTunes shout outs, just three. Coran Horn 15 called his Matt Key Confirms. Yeah. Thank you for the 5 stars. A Pimbo 2000, Marvel Fans Unite. Thank you very much. I appreciate you giving us all individual love. And then one of my favorite names in the iTunes and the live chat asked for a sexy shout out. So, Anakin, JK, Gatsby. I don't know if you are like, I'm Anakin. Just kidding. I'm Gatsby. But if that's the case, I respect it, and I'll be your green light across the sea anytime.
Ooh, yeah.
Happy birthday, Anakin J.K. Gatsby.
Happy birthday, baby.
Wow, wow. Now it is your Luke Cage when I hear the sexy shout-out, so I get distracted mid-sexy, where I'm like, yeah, Luke Cage.
Bulletproof love, baby.
Sweet Christmas, baby. Thank you very much, hashtag dope nerd. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
And this music just lives now.
I know. We live in this music.
We have time.
Let's do it.
Hey, caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I am Nicholas from Tucson.
Hey, what's going Nicholas.
On, Tucson, hello. I think you've got one of the Hulks out
my
there.
My stream is a little slow, so that's why I'm a little okay. So I have a question for Koi that. He may appreciate since he's announced his love for the awesome show Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yes.
Okay. So, since the movies appear to be going in a similar fashion, in my opinion, with Vulture heading the first movie,
mm-hmm.
and since the first episode was Spectacular was Vulture. So do you think in a similar direction for Eddie Brock, which is a character I love in that show, would they take a turn and make him like a surrogate brother to Peter Parker? And if so, who would you like to cast as Eddie Brock?
Hmm. Now, if they go surrogate brother route, so they go the way of younger, they don't go with the editorial version, they don't go with the bodybuilder who's begrudging Spider-Man, they go with him as akin to Peter Parker, I would go with the young gentleman who was almost Peter Parker himself. And I think it'd be really interesting to have, if they go that Eddie Brock, what's his name? He's got black hair, bright blue eyes. He's in that something from Mars movie.
Dylan O'Brien
would look, that looks perfect. That's the guy from Maze Hunter. Maze Runner. I'm talking about the guy that was like so close to being Spider-Man, then he had like a public statement, and then suddenly Marvel.
That's from my boy.
Asa Butterfield.
There we go.
I think he'd be a really interesting, if they go the brother route, like Ultimate Spider-Man kind of did that, and then the Spider-Man 3 kind of did that. I love Spectacular Spider-Man, but my Eddie Brock is a bodybuilder who's rageful, who's like a Catholic man who prays to like curse Spider-Man. Like, my Eddie Brock is the classic, so I don't see him as close in age. But if they want to go the brother route, I think it'd be really interesting casting Asa Butterfield, because there's something so unnerving about him that's also charming, and that'd be a really fun way to play it.
Indeed.
And also because the casting stuff would be like, sorry bro, but here, you're Venom now. Like it'd be an interesting route. But my overall Venom, I love, and he's a lot older than Tom Holland, which would be a weird way to go. But I've always wanted Sam Witwer. My boy Sam would be a great Venom.
That's a great one. And one more question: what do you think of my personal fan cast? I would like to see as sort of a kingpin of the Spider-Man universe, who's toned down a little bit. Danny Glover for Tombstone.
You know, you can just say Danny Glover and I'm with you. Danny Glover, Tombstone, oh yeah. I mean, I love me some Glover, both Donald and Danny. No relation.
No relation.
You get both of them in the same movie. I get tripped up
on that. Dude, I've been saying...
Donald Glover. I get mixed up.
Okay. Oh, you did? Funny.
Did you mean older or younger?
Older Tombstone.
Okay.
Danny Lethal Weapon, Childish Gambino.
Danny's too old for this ish. and Donald is Lando.
My dream has always been Danny Glover as the associate editor of the Daily Bugle, and then Randy, son, Donald Glover, just to confuse everyone reading the cast.
As I got confused.
Right. Wouldn't it be amazing if Tom Holland and Donald Glover were just friends because of the casting, and then like Randy Robertson and him are college homies? Like, because they were roommates. Yeah. I would love that. So either Glover for Tombstone, sign me up.
Uh-huh. For sure.
Sweet.
Well, all right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for joining us, Nicholas.
Thanks for calling. All right. We got another caller on the line.
Let's do it.
Let's do one more.
Hey, caller, you're into Marvel Movie News. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Eli from the faraway land of Florida.
The Floridians. How are you, sir?
Oh,
I'm good.
Florida.
What cover is that?
You got Ant-Man, Scott Lang, to be specific.
Yes.
Ooh. Cool.
Yeah, actually, I sent that over to you. I'm Haiku Eli, so.
There you go.
What's up, man?
Hey,
thank you.
Dude, thanks. It was a good discussion point. Doing great. Thanks for the discussion point, though, man.
Hey, no problem. You guys are doing great today. Love the show.
Thanks, man.
Question for you. In this golden age that we're in, are there any characters or stories or teams you'd like to see that hasn't had an announcement yet? Because I can think of one, because I've recently read, like, the whole book, 12 issues, collected, and I'm like, it would be amazing if this somehow got on the air. But I want to hear your guys' thoughts first, if there's anyone left you haven't seen on screen.
Okay, so you mean,
big,
like,
or small,
out of everything?
Yeah.
I feel like Marky has got an answer real
Besides
quick.
Carnage.
Besides Carnage, yeah.
Well, I think I've said it before, Young Gods. I mean, I'd love for them to do that. That's a group of humans that are supposed to be the best of the best of what Earth has to offer. It's part of like the whole Thor thing. Actually, I always pronounce this name Heimdall. Mm-hmm.
Heimdall.
I'm always going to mispronounce that. That's just going to happen. Heimdall's the one that like kind of scavenger hunts them out. So I would love that, because it's such a diverse team of people too. I mean, it's like you have Israeli soldiers in there. There's scientists, physicians, and then there's like regular people. Like there's a student, just like a 28-year-old student or whatnot. And I think that would be something really fun. But I would want for like Disney to do something like that, because I think that would have a lot of traction.
As far as an arc, I would love them to do Secret Wars, the original, if only to show the scope of Guardians with all the characters, but to get its Venom done right. So mine is literally like a path to another path. Like, I think the symbiotes would be amazing, but the only way to do that in the classic sense would be Secret Wars. So we're talking like a few hundred million investment just to get to another few hundred million investment, which is a struggle. But I would love to see that. But as far as an individual character, I think Mysterio, if done right, could be amazing because of technology. I think that... obscure character, man, I would love to see Kraven and Vermin. I would love to see Kraven's Last Hunt and just see how like violent and like rough it's more of a psychological Spider-Man story, which we've never really touched on. And it's hated, but man, do I love me some Ben Reilly. I think the Clone Saga is a very interesting commentary on like the masculine opinion and ego and id and narcissism and like self-worth and self-belief, and like they couldn't really touch on that in a single movie, but the idea of not knowing if you were real. Whoa. So, those.
Spider-Man 3, maybe.
Yeah, like, there's a lot. That had to be like Spider-Man 7. He'd have to be like 30. You know what I mean? Like, right. Oh, look at my 17-year-old self. Am I a clone? That's just puberty, man. That's just like, I was wondering if that was real my whole puberty. So, yeah, a lot of Spider-Man stuff I'd love to see.
Yeah. So, what's yours?
Okay, cool.
What's yours, man?
I recently read Next Wave.
What's Next Wave?
Next Wave, Agents of Hate by Warren Ellis and Stuart.
I love that team. Oh, okay. I haven't read that.
Yeah, with Elsa Bloodstone, the Captain, Monica Rambeau, Captain Marvel, Tabitha Smith, and Aaron Stack.
Mm-hmm.
The most eclectic, weird team. What was their catchphrase? Like, doing good by punching people in the face or something like that.
That's great.
Oh, that sounds like Monica.
Right, and I was just like, I'm reading, I'm like, this is so clever and funny and... dirty at points, I'm thinking, could this be the comedy Marvel is looking for?
Interesting.
Huh. I was going to say...
go ahead, Zoom.
I was going to say Great Lakes Avengers is like the silly one that I've been waiting for, but this would be even more fun, I think.
Yeah, this is great, and I love the team behind it. I haven't read it, but I love the team behind it, and I love the people in it, so I'm already on board.
Yeah, I need to jump back into like newer comics, so that seems like a good one to go at. And I've been reading so many DC comics lately.
Get back to Marvel.
No,
join us.
My friends keep on giving me that.
Yeah, no, I'm reading both right now.
It's a lot. Right now, we are at war.
Oh, stop. Get out.
The live chat is already so mad at me for referencing Clone Saga positively. I'm sorry, it had some merits.
It can be done well on the big screen. Give it a chance.
Yeah, give it a new ending. Redefine it. Don't make it last 10 years longer than it needs to. Dude, yeah, I love that idea. I need to read that now too. There's a lot of books that I'm just like, I'm reading like 30 books a week, but I'm gonna add that to the queue. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, so all right, I can paint like one image for you. It's like in one of the later issues, the team goes on a mission and they attack this live base, and each time you flip the page, they're facing like a wide variety of bad guys. Like on one splash page, it's giant dragon with like ninjas. The next page, it's like, you know, Wolverine, monkeys, and
dude,
you know, pirates. You flip to the next page, and it's like they're beating up everybody. They don't care.
That's amazing. Yeah, dude, this sounds great.
I just love the thought process of, you know what's better than a dragon? A dragon with ninjas.
Yeah, exactly. Flip the page.
I love that.
Yeah. And I was thinking, if it's a comedy and with the scale, because it's only like 12 issues. Maybe this could be like, it almost looks like the show you could maybe put onto like an HBO or AMC, where it can be a little bit more adult but still have the humor in it. But you know, I loved it when I read it, and if you guys haven't read it, definitely check it out. It's worth it.
Actually, you know what? I'm gonna change my answer while I still have you on the phone. I'm gonna leave Spider-Man entirely. As you know, I'm a very Spider-Man biased fella. I want a show that is like how Harry Potter makes you feel, but instead of gifted wizards, I want Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters by way of Harry Potter. I think a weekly show that you meet different teachers, you meet different, like, you have different classrooms. I want something that has the magic of Harry Potter, but it's mutants instead. And I think that's the best way to actually get the X-Men across.
Yeah, interesting.
After seeing Fantastic Beasts, I was like,
right.
Mutants would be great here. Like, I would love that version of the X-Men.
So, like, not X-Men, but Xavier's school for the kids.
Exactly. And I think that'd be a great TV show. I think that'd be a great... To be fair, someone tweeted me the idea of this a few weeks back, but then after watching Fantastic Beasts, I was like, oh, it is Harry Potter. So that universe, I just missed the X-Men that I read when I was a kid, and I think that'd be a cool way to get them.
Right.
Within the Marvel universe, we could always get, like, an Avengers Academy.
Yeah, that's true.
That could fill the same sort of area.
Absolutely. It can be... Are we talking like it's Glee-like inspired kind of a thing? I mean, what tone are you saying?
I assume less singing.
Yeah.
I mean, I read some crazy X-Men books, but...
Okay, that was the wrong team.
Hugh Jackman
reference.
Cabaret, he'd be so happy. Like, he'd like gets to combine everything he loves. He's just like, Wolverine!
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Spirit Claws.
Oh, stop.
I'm just, yes.
Spirit Claws.
I'm into this vision. Bring it, guys.
I love that.
Xavier's, giving them all the words so they can all, like, ad-lib. Like, he's just transmitting song lyrics.
Oh,
music
man.
Class is outstanding.
That's how everyone knows the words, because
Xavier just translates them out. Jubilee's doing, like, a show. In the front,
of
like
course.
Dazzler's there, obviously. Guys, call us. We're gonna make a musical X-Men show.
love it.
Thanks, caller, for encouraging that madness. I appreciate it. I never even thought of musical that got us there.
Yeah,
you're totally welcome, guys.
Yeah.
Have a good one, man. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, bye.
Take care. Bye.
What a great Thanksgiving
show. Dude, Les Mis with X-Men.
Les Mis with X-Men. Oh, my God.
2, 4, 6, X-23. Like, yeah, man.
I did see in the theater Spider-Man turn off the dark.
That, I mean, hey, that I respect that.
That was an interesting night.
I've watched Les Mis too many times. I think it's a very similar experience to turn off the dark when you're, dude, I want a musical X-Men now. Never thought I'd want that.
But now we need.
Just don't.
Fan cast an X-Men musical for us.
Yes.
just don't get Bono.
Dude.
Spider-Man turn off the dark. Like, I went and I saw it on Broadway in like the last month of its run. It was so silly. I had a great time. It should never have existed.
Has been our Thanksgiving special. I appreciate you. I'm very thankful for you.
Yes.
We appreciate you. And the tweets have been great. The caves have been incredible. Do you have anything you need to plug this week?
Sure. Let's see. First off, have a happy Thanksgiving. Oh, actually, yeah, my week isn't as normal as it usually is.
It's a holiday.
Yeah, because it's a holiday. So I actually kind of have some days off. Oh my God, that never
happens. Enjoy that.
I know, but I'll be back. Mondays, I do WWE Raw with AfterBuzz TV. So tune in then. We just did the After Survivor Series Raw yesterday, and I had two awesome guests. I mean, the other hosts were out, so I'm like, okay,
now,
let's do all the things. Yes, so I had two comedians. One was comedian slash former pro wrestler. So we covered all the bases and had all the fun. If you want to check that out on AfterBuzz, please do. Otherwise, yeah, I'll see you next week Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll be back next week, and if you're going out Black Friday shopping, be careful. Thank you guys so much. I do it every year. My holiday.
Oh,
it gets.
Oh, and if I could just give a quick plug.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
I saw some people asking about Fantastic Beasts in the chat roll.
Oh, yeah.
If you want, jump over to another show on Popcorn Talk, my show, Sci-Fi Weekly, where on Sunday we did me, Emma Fife, and Jesse Klein. Jesse Klein's been on this show a couple of times, and we do Agents of Shield.
Love Jesse.
We did our Fantastic Beasts review, which is not sci-fi. Just go.
It was fiction.
Fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Fantastic Beasts was. It was. I enjoyed it.
I thought it was great. Yeah. And I'm a proud Slytherin. All right, guys.
Ravenclaw.
Have a wonderful week, Ravenclaw. And we'll see you next time. Mama Moo News. Bye, guys.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.
All right, hey. All right, good job, guys. Let's just not come in tomorrow. Let's just take a day.